Welcome to the Council of Public Affairs. My name is Terry Shellington. I'm the moderator today. And before I forget, I invite all of you to put $10, except our guest, $10 in the baskets, and that's for the privilege of being here and for lunch. And I'd remind you that the Council of Public Affairs is a volunteer organization, and we really appreciate your donations and your memberships. And each week I see a few people doing that, and Joanne can handle that, but we appreciate your support in all those ways. And we appreciate our partners, too, Shaw TV and the University of Lethbridge and Erickson's Restaurant. So we really welcome Gillian Stewart this afternoon. She's a journalist that's been observing the scene in Alberta for a long time, and if you get the brochure, you know that she's been a managing editor of the Calgary Herald and written some material and worked for CBC and most recently the publisher of Alberta Views, written for the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, and so on. So she has been in the journalism field for a long time, and we're so pleased. She's a friend of the Council of Public Affairs. She's spoken here before. So we invite you to come, Gillian, and she can speak till roughly 12:30, and then we'll have lunch, and then we'll jump into a question and discussion period about a very interesting subject about where we are with the Tory dynasty in Alberta.
Can you hear me? Lethbridge. I went to high school in Lethbridge, and my parents, Bill and Mary Cranley, lived in Lethbridge for a long time after I moved away, so I used to come here regularly. And I have to say, I always get a thrill when I drive in, you know, under the bridge and into the coulees. It's just it's beautiful. So I'm really glad to be here on this beautiful fall day. So it's interesting times in Alberta these days, isn't it? It hasn't been this interesting for a long time. And I titled this talk Last Days of the Dynasty, because it has become apparent that the Alberta Conservatives, who have controlled the reins of government for 36 years, have been on shaky ground for several months. And during the last few weeks, the shaking ground looks more and more like a serious earthquake. The Royalty Review Panel, and just this week, the Auditor General himself, opened up the ground beneath the government, and it may never be able to crawl to credible ground again. I'll come back to the royalty review and the implication for Alberta towards the end of the talk, but for now, I would like to take a few steps back and remind you that history shows us that dynasties often collapse from within, and then in their weakened state become more vulnerable to attack, or whatever you want to call it, from the outside. And this certainly seems to be the case with the Alberta Conservatives at this stage. And to really look at this, we need to go back to March of last year when the Conservatives had that fateful leadership review. Because it seems to me that's when the impenetrable facade began to crack. You know, and we have to realize that this is a party that has been in power for a long time. And, you know, from Lougheed through Getty through Klein. And to maintain that kind of power certainly takes, takes some wit on their part, and certainly takes some deep appeal to Albertans. And they've done that for 36 years. But the facade, I believe, began to crack during that leadership, during the leadership review in March. Because, as you all know, Ralph Klein only got 55% support from party members, much, much lower than certainly any of the pundits had predicted, and I think much lower than Ralph himself obviously had anticipated. And to that point, I think we can safely say that Ralph Klein had held the party and much of the province together by the force of his personality and his personal appeal to so many Albertans. I think, you know, in later years, when, you know, people start to study this even more than they are now, it will be quite a phenomenon in itself that Ralph Klein was able to represent this province in such a personal way and have so many people across the province, you know, in rural areas, smaller cities, larger cities, identify with him personally. You know, whether or not you liked Ralph became the overriding kind of politics in this province. And a lot of people liked him. A lot of people felt that they knew him personally. If they'd met him even one or two times, they felt that he had, you know, come across to them personally. It was quite a feat to be able to do that. And I think when we look back on it, particularly in the light of Premier Stelmach's behavior, it's quite a phenomenon. But Ralph Klein was able to do that for quite a long time. But he didn't, you know, like most leaders, he can't last forever. And when he got only 55% support at that leadership review, there were lots of reasons for that. I mean, I think it had become apparent to lots of Albertans that he was bored with his job. For many people, he'd become really embarrassing because he kept saying just ridiculous off-the-wall things. And then he wouldn't commit to when he was actually going to resign. The other thing I think that was really important at the time, and we may have forgotten about it now, was he was pushing again for serious reform to Medicare, which this time he was calling the third way. He tried before and failed. He tried two times before and failed. He was pushing again with the third way. It was upsetting a lot of people in his caucus. It was upsetting a lot of people in rural areas. And I think there was a kind of a revolt within the party over that. And then, you know, 6 months later, after, you know, Ralph got such poor ratings from party members and then actually did hand in his resignation, we had the Tory leadership review. And that, again, I think, revealed a lot of cracks in this party. You know, when we look at who was actually running and how they did, we can see that no one candidate was actually able to paper over the divisions within the party. Jim Dinning, remember Jim Dinning, held Calgary. And while he held Calgary quite well, he was never able to capture the support and the imagination of people in other parts of the province. And for many people, particularly in the northern part of the province and in Edmonton, Jim Dinning represented, you know, the Calgary CEO that was causing so many of the problems for the rest of the province. I have to say, I'm quite amazed these days, and I've seen it now for several months. Whenever I go to Edmonton, there is so much antipathy in Edmonton towards Calgary. Man, I mean, there's always been a rivalry between the two cities, but now people in Edmonton are just, it's visceral the way they hate Calgary and they hate everything that it stands for. And I think Jim Dinning suffered because of that. Ted Morton appealed to southern Alberta, particularly churchgoers who follow a more socially conservative agenda. He had a, you know, we had a core of supporters. But, you know, the ideas that social conservatives adopt don't go over that well in the big cities. And so that was another division within the party. Ed Stelmach had held central Alberta, Edmonton, and the industrial belt around Edmonton. But has he been able to capture the rest of the province since he became premier? It would seem not. He doesn't seem to have a lot of support at this point. There's also another way of looking, I think, at the leadership review, at the Tory leadership race. Dinning was the what I would call the pre-Klein candidate. He wanted to take the party back more to the Lougheed days and was, in fact, endorsed by Peter Lougheed. Stelmach came up the middle between the two wings of the Tory party. And I think Ted Morton obviously represented the more right wing of the party. He certainly held a lot of the same ideas that Ralph Klein held around Medicare, around fiscal conservatism, around fighting with Ottawa. But Stelmach came up the middle between the two wings of the Tory party. But nobody was quite sure what he stood for when he got elected, other than being a nice guy. Everybody seems to agree he's a nice guy. And you have to wonder if in politics that actually is enough. And he's had 3/4 of a year now as leader of the province. He hasn't been elected by Albertans in general. He's only been elected to the position of premier by people within the party. He was in cabinet before that. He's not exactly a neophyte to politics. But he seems, I think, indecisive. He flubs his media scrums. He doesn't have as many media scrums as Ralph Klein did. It's actually hard to get a clear bead on the man. I think, and that's part of his problem right now, is that people aren't sure exactly what kind of person he is. There's no clear image. And in these times, politicians need a clear image of some sort. You need to be able to grasp it, to know exactly what kind of person you're getting here. Certainly in Calgary, I don't know if people in Lethbridge kept up with the fight that was going on between Ed Stelmach and Mayor Dave Brancagna in Calgary. There was a lengthy fight over funding from the province for the cities. And I have to say, Mayor Brancagna really outflanked Ed Stelmach. There's no question. And Mayor Brancagna, really had most Calgarians behind him. As somebody who's lived in Calgary for a long time, you have to appreciate after, we had a premier, we've had two long-standing premiers out of Calgary, Peter Lougheed and Ralph Klein. And people in Calgary always stood behind them. And so to see, the mayor actually get more support when he fought the premier than the premier did was quite unusual. It's quite surprising. And another indication that things are really shifting. The by-election in Calgary and Calgary Elbow, which used to be Ralph Klein's seat, the Liberals took it. And it was clear that Ed Stelmach wasn't, he made a couple of appearances during that by-election, but it was clear that he wasn't helping. In fact, he was hurting. And people didn't identify with him. They didn't really know what he stood for. They certainly didn't know the candidate that was running for the Conservatives. He was a neophyte. So a Liberal took that seat. And it's true that a lot of Conservatives stayed home rather than go out and vote. And so you hear a lot of people say, well, those Conservatives, they'll come back out. They'll come back out when they get the kind of candidate that they want. But I'm wondering, if those Conservatives are so disengaged that they couldn't get out and vote, maybe they're actually looking. Maybe they're looking around to see who else they should be voting for when the provincial election comes up. Stelmach simply doesn't have the loyal following that Klein had. His approval ratings are falling, according to the polls, everywhere in the province, but especially in Edmonton and Calgary. I think he's perceived as a waffler, as indecisive, unsure, in over his head, afraid to chart a different course. He's not good on TV. He's not good with sound bites. It's difficult to get a handle on his character and his image, as I said before. And there's all that baggage. He was at the cabinet table when the decisions of the Klein government were taken, including the decision about not to do anything about the royalty review, including when all those oil sands projects, one after the other, were given the go-ahead. So in this province, we have not really what I would call a boom economy, but an out-of-control economy. Where was he when all these things were happening? Why didn't Ed Stelmach speak up then? And I think that's one of the real problems he has right now, is how can he be seen to be credible if, in fact, he was sitting at Ralph Klein's side when a lot of those decisions were made? And certainly, Mr. Stelmach's government seems to exacerbate the divisions created during the leadership race rather than minimize them. It looks like a cabinet from the past, very male, very white, very social credit looking. And social credit's back a long time. Is the Tory dynasty in its last stages? Can the opposition parties fill the vacuum left by Ralph? I think these are really big questions. And I think that's why, actually, in Alberta, it's really an interesting time to be here and to be, active in politics or thinking about these things and talking about these things. Some will say that it would never happen. We're so used to the one-party state here that it's just hard to imagine that it would ever change. And I think the other thing that happens, too, is that the media in this province gets so used to basically reacting all the time to the government, to the government, to the government, and discrediting, basically, opposition, because opposition is not taken seriously in this province, that we get used to always thinking in terms of what the government's doing or not doing, rather than the ideas or the support that opposition parties may in fact have. And I think it's also true to say in Alberta that we have a long tradition of basically ignoring MLAs elected by opposition parties. You know, it's as though even though you elect somebody in your own constituency to represent you, but they are not of the governing party, it's like they really don't count. You know, it's like you've just sort of sent them off into oblivion. Because we don't really, you know, we don't have all-party committees at the legislature. It's, you know, we're very used to the idea that only the people elected to the government side are the ones that really count. And I think that's something that, from my point of view, really has to change. So some would say it will never happen. It will never change because we've been a one-party state for so long. And Albertans have been brainwashed into apathy, some people will say, or thinking that that's just the way it is. And also, let's face it, opposition leaders in this province don't have a strong track record. Do you know that in the last 40 years, there's only been one opposition leader that's actually made it into the premier's office? Who was it? Does anybody know in the last 40 years? Peter Lougheed. There's been like only four premiers in this province in the last 40 years and 16 leaders of the opposition. You know, it's not it's not a position with a lot of advancement, let's just say that. So it just becomes hard to believe, you know, that opposition parties are serious or that opposition leaders could actually become premiers. We're not used to thinking that way. But you know what? It's also clear, I think, in this province that there's a lot of discontent out there despite the economic boom or despite, you know, the good times rolling on, as a lot of people would say. You know, we've lived through a lot of booms. We've seen them come and we've seen them go. But I have to say, and I'm saying this from somebody who lives in Calgary, this one seems to have produced a lot of discontent. You know, there's a lot of feeling in Calgary that, you know what, it's just not a city to live in anymore because it's too crowded. You can't find decent, affordable housing. The traffic's just got out of control. The hospitals are so crowded. You don't really want to go there unless you absolutely have to. You can't find a family doctor, all those sorts of things. The schools are, you know what, they also have all their problems. And I think there's really serious concern in this province over environmental issues stemming from, you know, the surge of oil sands projects and the way they keep coming on and coming on and coming on. And it seems far away, right? It's in Fort McMurray, you know, and there's some people that live up there, but most of us don't. So we don't see the environmental effect that that is having up in that part of the province. But it is, in fact, going to it is affecting major waterways. It's affecting the air, and it's affecting climate change. And I think, you know, people are starting to wonder, like, how we can't have it both ways, can we? So I think there's a lot of discontent around all the economic growth. And let's face it, the Tories, the provincial Tories, have slipped badly in the past years in terms of public support. Now, if you think back to last December, right after Ed Stelmach was actually elected leader of the party, an Ipsos Reid poll found at that time, like in mid-December last year, that he had a 75% approval rating. The people surveyed also said that 68% of those of them would favor a PC government over the other parties. That was, of course, right after the leadership, and then you always get a bit of a bounce after that. But that's pretty high, right? I mean, that's very high. But by June, the Ipsos Reid poll showed that Stelmach had sunk to an overall approval rating of 47%, and that's province-wide. That's a drop of 30 points in 6 months. And in Edmonton and Calgary, his approval ratings are much lower than 47%. In fact, when Ipsos Reid did that poll in June, it showed that all the parties were actually back where they were after the last provincial election. And I think you'll remember that after the last provincial election, the majority of Albertans actually voted against the Conservatives. they got less than a majority of the vote. So in, essentially, we're back where we started, and we're back where we were after the last provincial election, and things may have even shifted since then, because that poll I'm talking about was last June. There's another aspect to all this that I personally find very interesting. And again, it speaks, I think, of the divisions within the Tory party. And that, sorry, 3 or 4 minutes. Okay. And that is that Peter Lougheed has been speaking out a lot. And he has been saying things that have been quite derogatory of the Klein government. He, in fact, called for a royalty review sometime last year. He laid out a position in which he said that, you know, we're not getting enough money. The Albertans are not getting what they should out of all this oil and gas development. Peter Lougheed has been speaking out. He's been doing it regularly. What does that mean for the party? I don't know if the party's actually listening to him. I know that he has had several meetings with Ed Stelmach. But it seems to me that Peter Lougheed is actually getting quite a bit of support from Albertans in general, but not necessarily from the Tory party. The Tories seem listless about these issues, and they seem defensive. And I think you're going to see in the next provincial election, you're going to see Calgary probably as a major battleground. The Liberals already have 4 seats there. There's a good chance that they will actually get more. I think the opposition, the NDP, the NDs and the Liberals, will probably keep the seats that they have in Edmonton and gain more. It's harder to predict what's going to happen in other cities. I know that in Lethbridge you have a Liberal member and a Conservative member. I think, you know, the Stelmach government is not getting the kind of support that the Ralph Klein government used to get in the rural areas. Where are those people going to go? I'm not sure. And I think in general there's been a huge kind of disengagement on the part of Conservative voters. They've pulled back from the party, but they haven't yet decided what they're going to do. They haven't yet decided whether they're going to go back to the Conservatives or whether they're really going to look around. And I think those are the people that are really going to make the difference in the next election. I think that the royalty review panel and its recommendations is going to cause, well, it already has, a huge conundrum for the Stelmach government. And now that the Auditor General has come out and said basically the same thing, and let's not forget, there were lots of people saying this, including former Premier Peter Lougheed, for several years before these high, you know, blue ribbon panels and Auditor Generals came out and said the same thing. One wonders why Ed Stelmach, you know, right after the royalty review panel that he appointed and came down with such strong statements in regards to raising the royalties, why he didn't at that point say, you know what, this is a really good report and I'm inclined to support it. Instead, he did that. Well, we'll look at it, you know. Maybe in another month we'll come out with some decisions around this. He didn't take a strong stand. And yet now, according to some polls done by the Edmonton Journal and the Calgary Herald, something like, correct me if I'm wrong, 80% of Albertans support raising the royalties. So the premier is actually running behind what the people want. Is that a good thing? It doesn't make him look very decisive, you know. But time will tell. I think there will be a provincial election next March. Once the government hands down its budget, they'll probably call an election, because that budget will, in fact, be their election platform. And it's going to be very interesting. I think there's a good chance we'll have a minority government, whether it'll be a Conservative minority or a Liberal minority, I don't really know. But from my own point of view, I think a minority government in this province would be great. I really do, because I think it means that everybody could be involved, you know, that we wouldn't just have the hierarchy of the governing party. It would mean that we could all be involved and we could all have a say. So I'm hoping for a minority government. Thank you. My name is